Today is March 10th, 2010. Today we are interviewing Mr. Charles Anderson. And the interviewers is Miss Elijah Webb, Mr. Elijah Williams, and Peter Townsend. Go ahead.
Okay, so how long have you lived in Roanoke? What streets and neighborhoods did you live in?
Well, I've lived in Roanoke. I'm 89 now. And I think we moved here when I was about 4 years old, maybe 5 years. Okay, let's talk all over. Where are you?
Okay. How long have you lived in Roanoke, and what streets and neighborhoods did you live in?
I have lived in Roanoke, I'll say, for 85 years. And I have lived on Madison Avenue, Northwest, Loudon Avenue, Northwest, and presently now on Rugby Boulevard, Northwest.
Okay. Let's talk about your school life, for instance. Where did you attend school?
I attended school in Roanoke. And at the time I attended school, because they didn't have enough space on them because I lived in Southwest before I moved to Northwest, and I didn't have enough space to put those addresses on.
That's fine. You don't have to worry about it.
Well, I lived in Southwest on 12 and a half Street, I guess, 6 or 7 years probably. And at that time, there was a Harrison Annex School right at the end of 10th Street and Norfolk Avenue. And it was a three-grade school, first, second, and third grades. And I went to Harrison Annex for those three grades. And then upon finishing that school, then I proceeded on to go to the regular Harrison School on Harrison Avenue. And did you ask about how I got to school?
How did you get to school?
Yes. Well, back in those days, we walked. It wasn't bad when we went to Harrison Annex because that was about 4 or 5 blocks. But when it came to Harrison School, middle school, I guess it's about 2 or 3 mile trek to school one way. And we had to walk across 10th Street Bridge. And, of course, no buses back in the 30s. And the hazardous thing was when we had these real deep snows, see, there was no street cleaners or anything. We had to walk the bridge, you know, with snow up to your knees almost. And there were railings that would protect you. See, if you could slip, you could just slip right through and just fell right down on the railroad, see, back in those days. And so it was hazardous, but incidentally, no one helped them to, you know, succumb to any of those accidents. Of course, at that time, we were found it fun. Didn't wait on the snow days. We were happy to get out and walk all the way to Harrison School on snow days and back. And so it was an adventure there through middle school.
What year did you say you were born in?
1921.
Okay.
What school activities and sports did you do?
My main hobby was photography. I always had a little candid camera, and I considered myself to be a sort of a sports. I mean, I took pictures of sports. I mean, I didn't participate in any sports, but I took pictures and did so-called interviews of our athletes. You know, I was a reporter back in those young days, rare.
What kind of camera did you have?
Oh, back then I had a little Kodak something. You know, it was the box job there. And so, yeah, I had some, you know, did some fairly good. I never left home without it and still don't. I mean, that's my heart now is photography and raising roses and gardening.
So how was Addison when you went here?
When I was at Addison, it was an institution. It was almost, to us, it was almost like college because, you know, when you go from middle school to Addison, it was a great and a great difference in the atmosphere. And, you know, we really felt that we had really moved up a lot of steps, you know, when we left the middle school to go to Addison because we just really enjoyed advancing.
So you said that you did interviews with the sports people? Did you like
No, just the kids.
Yeah.
And we had little sports newspapers and, you know, that kind of stuff. So just within the student body.
And so you like rewrote articles and stuff about the sporting events?
Well, just only the ones, like we had a game a particular night, you know, where we would do a little article on the star of the night or something like that, you know, so-and-so ran for 40 yards to touchdown or blah, blah, blah. You know, we were real professional way back then.
Yeah. See that? You?
Did you ever meet Miss Lucy Addison?
No, I did not have the opportunity to meet her. Because, see, she was at Harrison in 29. And I don't think I was at Addison. I mean, I wasn't even at Harrison at that time. And then when she was at Addison, well, I mean, she had still gone. So I didn't have any particular awareness of her status back then.
Okay, so let's move on to life at home. What were the family stories that were passed down from one generation to another? For instance, did your family have stories about memories during the Civil War or about slavery?
Well, not war per se, but my parents were, let's see, I don't know whether they lived on a plantation or what the living conditions were. Of course, my mother reached 105 years old before she passed. And I do know that she was a great horse lady back then, and she would ride from plantation to plantation, you know, to carry messages of bar stuff and everything. So she was very athletic. I do remember her playing baseball and those type things.
Did she like play in a women's league, or was she
neighborhood
okay.
type okay. thing? Yeah. And even in her early years, she was still 100 years old. She was out of Friendship Manor, and she would get out and run, but nobody could catch her. Really, yeah, the age, you know, stops in there, we can't catch up, we can't keep up with you, she's really gone, so she was really, I guess, I mean, I had the blood, but she was the athlete, but I never did to do anything. Of course, I did have a brother that played some semi-pro baseball.
Tell me about your family, like, what was it like?
Well, as I say, we were from West Virginia, and father passed away at an early age, and when we moved to Roanoke, well, I had two brothers, and my brother and my mother worked, and I got an early education in housekeeping, you know, 8, 9, 10 years old, I was able to shop, pay bills, and housekeep, learn to wash and iron at a very early age, and all those things, you know, in preparation for, you know, later days of life. And so became pretty proficient in the housekeeping situation because I was the one that had to do it, you know. And for spare change, my brothers were older than I, so I would wash his shirts and pants and press them and probably get 25 cents more if they had a date to go out or something like that. So, so it was real neat living there. So we had a very good life, considering the times.
So what is your fondest childhood memory? For example, a favorite holiday event, a favorite vacation spot, a favorite gift that you received?
Well, I guess, you know, the average child, the favorite holiday is Christmas. And my middle brother, who was my closest friend, and he would always do my Christmas shopping. He just admired, you know, buying stuff. And the amazing thing about it, they would, see, those times, they would put the Christmas tree up on Christmas Eve night. There wasn't no early decoration, nothing. I could go to bed early. When you wake up in the morning, Christmas tree is decorated. Everything is just like magic. The presents under the tree and all. And so I realized that at an early age, you know, there wasn't a Santa Claus because my brother would write on the little tab, you know, to Charles from Santa Claus, and I recognized his handwriting at an early age. So it was a joke. And he would, you know, call me, get up, go downstairs, see what Santa Claus, go see what Santa Claus is. What I was going, looking. I went on, I guess, for years. I mean, I didn't reveal it. I knew what it was until much later. I just kept getting the goodies. And, you know, I figured once you reveal it, the knowledge would be gone. So I never did reveal it. I knew what it was at an early age.
So, like, what happened when you did tell him? Like, when you finally revealed that?
Oh yeah, it was just a big joke, you know. And so he laughed, and and he was basically my father figure anyway, because he did all of my, you know, help mom buy my clothes and school and everything like that. I lived highly, I consider, because
what was his name?
His name was Reginald.
Okay.
So what church did your family attend growing up?
Well, when we lived in Southwest, we went to Jerusalem Baptist Church. And then when we moved to Northwest, then my mother attended Loudoun Avenue Christian Church. And I went with her wherever she went. So then, I don't want to get too far ahead of the questions. I want to wait on the questions because I may go ahead of some of the questions you're going to ask.
You don't even worry about it. Just go where the story goes.
Well, anyway, when we did move to Northwest, and she was going to Loudoun, and at that time we moved to Northwest, and I began high school, Addison. And so that was a true adventure, you know, once we got into high school. And I had a bike, and lived on Madison Avenue, and of course I had a lot of neighbors, you know, at that time, beautiful neighbors. And I would ride my bike to school, but I had two girl neighbors who, they could be early at class, but they'd come by my house and wait, and I would double them to school. And we would drive all, at that time all I had to do was just come over 8th Street down to Orange Avenue, which was Lynchburg Turnpike at the time, and then right on down to Addison and cross the playground. Well, we'd almost be running late even at that time. They'd get off the bicycle and run across the playground, you know, into the school. And but still, you know, it was fun, even under those circumstances. And I mean, that's when I got most involved in my photography and, you know, doing the little so-called school interviews and stuff like that. And then, as I say, I graduated in 39. And as a little side job, I used to work for a drugstore. Even in the afternoon after school, I would, at that time, we had, you know, when you deliver prescriptions, did it on bike. So, I mean, I guess I had hit every street in town because, you know, when people had to deliver, I had to take them out. And, now that was my exercise, you know. Sometimes you wonder, you know, I didn't play football, or track, or nothing like that, but I think I put on at least 25, 30 miles on that bike every day going all over town. So I figured that that's true to your physical being. And I'd been very blessed in health wise and everything, you know, up until my near 80s. I mean, I had been, you know, free of any major ailments or anything looking, so I just attribute to, have to look back at my conditioning back then, unawarely. And so then come 43, that's when I went into the service, World War II.
So, could you describe your work with the St. Gerard's Catholic Church and its foundation?
Yes, no, that's my big thing. I went into the service. As I say, I went to Loudoun Avenue Christian Church with my mother in 43. And when I came back, I mean, due to the relationship with priests in the service, then I came back in 46, and then 1946 was when St. Gerard's was founded. And as of now, I'm the only living founding member of St. Gerard's. And so that has been a really wonderful and religious journey for me. I have worked with all the priests during this period of time from 46 up until date. I think we have, may have had 30 or more priests who have served St. Gerard's in this period of time, and I have worked and served with all of them. And a founding priest, Father Maurice McDonald. We had worked very closely together. And I was, and we had three locations. At one time, they met in a home on McDowell Avenue. That was just a very brief time. And then from McDowell, during our time, Superintendent McQuilkin was the superintendent of schools at the time. And so we were able to contact Superintendent McQuilkin and secure Harrison School. So we had mass at Harrison School there for a very short period of time also. And then of course, we were in negotiations of buying a house for the church, which we bought up on Mormon Road. And that was, I guess, probably 47 or 8, I don't know. But anyway, then we bought the property on Orange Avenue and started construction on the corner of 8th Street and Orange Avenue. And,
no, I'm looking for trash.
It's running yet? Mm-hmm. So you said that you moved it on to, you started construction on Orange Avenue.
Yeah, we completed it, I think, in 1951. And as I stated, I don't know, I was chairman of the building committee at that time. And it was, the community was very, very cooperative. You know, all over the Catholic Church, we had, on our board, we had a Jewish fellow, Dr. Downing. Like we were very multicultural at the time. And then we were supported, our later Nazareth Church was over on Campbell Avenue at the time. And they supported us, 100% because of the sisters there that came and helped us in our services. And of course, Addison High School was very, very cooperative because we were a real strong community. We had all types of activity supported by the school. We had plays. And there were, at that time, we had the Academy of Music on Salem Avenue was almost like an opera hall. We, our teachers from Addison and helped to produce plays, and we had plays over there at the Academy of Music, we called. And so Miss Alta Mae Thomas was a French teacher at Addison. She was a member of St. Gerard's. And she taught music there, and we had, musical concerts, at the end of each one of the study groups. And as time progressed, we just, as I say, it was, the church grew, very rapidly. And it was originally built to be, for the black residents of Roanoke. But we became very integrated and really became the most, of course, the Catholic Church is supposed to be universal anyway. And we were actually the most universal church in the city because we had always had many cultures from our beginning up until this date. See, we have about 7 or 8 cultures at St. Gerard's as of this date. And, I have, helped most of every office in the church, we pastoral council and the Eucharistic minister is almost like a deacon. I have done that, serving the sick and in the community of the church, for many years. And of course, I had attempted writing the history of the church, and that's where my photography came in. Because I had a great photographic history of the events that went on with the church, back in the day. And so we have progressed to such a great extent. We've been recognized, throughout our diocese as one of the most universal churches. And as Catholics, we have a great choir, the Catholic St. Gerard's Gospel Choir, who sings throughout the city during the holidays. And we are, we're just proud of our history. And Knights of Columbus, we have a Knights of Columbus Council. And with over 80 members, and it's very active, in the support of the church and of the neighborhood or wherever the needs are that, we should comply to. And so in and about with the church, in the 90s, of course, I during all this time, and as a hobby, roses have been my heart. I mean, I have raised roses, and as of this time, I have over 200 roses now. And so I took a course out at the VPI extension course out on Brownton Avenue. I'm a master gardener. And that happened in, I've been a master gardener now for, I guess, between 12, 15 years. And I'm on the board of the Roanoke Rose Society of Virginia also. Been involved with the society for about 4 or 5 years, but I mean, I have been growing roses for, I guess, 40 years or more. And in connection with the Master Gardeners, we have, at the time, we had to do a project. We worked with Hurt Park School. And we had a garden project up there for this about 8 or 9 years. We had some we had some beautiful crops. Even in the real hot season, we had beautiful stuff and dig those heads.
It's a great picture.
So is this with the Gardening Society that these are taken?
Yeah, that's with the Master Gardeners, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this picture is cute.
Yeah, it is.
They're carrying
hatches. I wanted to go back. Wow.
And that's broccoli.
This picture's really good.
And you took all these pictures yourself?
Yeah.
You're great.
And this he was a teacher at the Hurt Park at the time.
This is a good picture.
And the guy behind him there, Philip Florsham, he was a retired vice president of Bank of Wachovia. He and I worked together on this project, I guess, about 8 or 9 years. Until they, it wasn't anymore, so then, that was one of my, really prized, we really enjoyed doing this. And we, of course, this is just and I have a bunch of these because, see, this went on for about 7 or 8 years that we were into this little deal. And so that was a really a great community project and everything. And and we have another civic organization that we had was FaithWorks. FaithWorks came to Roanoke. It was a Catholic-based civic organization, and they were based in California. And we worked. They they were recruiting neighborhood, activists, to work on different projects. And one of the guys who was recruiting came to St. Gerard's and asked our priest, who would he recommend, to get into this project. And I was selected. I was in 99. And we went to San Francisco in Los Altos. It's about 34 miles from San Francisco. It was a beautiful retreat center, where we went for training. I mean, it was almost like a paradise, even though it was so landscaped and, it's just a beautiful setting there. and we were there for a week. And we came back to put into practice what we had learned at the workshop. And even in the workshop, they taught us the approach to city council members. If you want to go to have a case want to occur to the council, you know, we had to step procedure to get to the council and appointments. We would go to them, either they would be invited to our organization. And we would carry our pleas to them. So our first project was we had the council to meet at St. Gerard's, and we offered some suggestions and projects in that particular year. The overgrowth was the sidewalk was just covered from Orange Avenue and 8th Street all the way down past, from 8th Street up there down to Park Street on the other side of the street. And at that time, the school traffic light was not working. It hadn't worked, I guess, for 20 years. And so that, and well, we had to, at that time, we had the mayor here at our meeting, the city manager, and chief of police, and everyone. And within a week, those problems were corrected. They had sent a crew up here and backhoes and cleaned up all that stuff on the sidewalk. Light blinking, been blinking ever since. That's been 12 years ago or something like that. And so, you know, when you look around and see some of the things that we had had accomplished, you know, through Faith Works, and of course, man, you may have heard of Southeast by Design. Well, our leader was instrumental in, because they had three organizations in Southeast that was, they just couldn't see eye to eye whatsoever. So this guy, Ray Higgins, was an organizer for Faith Works. And he was able to get those three organizations together, and they working like clockwork, and so they really got this Southeast by Design program that was another big success through Faith Works. And the amazing thing, you know, whenever we had a meeting, well, even from Southeast, if we had a meeting at St. Gerard's, everyone from Southeast would come to our meeting, same to go to that meeting. And of course, you know, numbers count, you know. And another good thing is, in, you know, meeting process is to get, you know, sort of a, not necessarily real large quarter, sort of small quarter. When you pack people in, you get 10 people in, it looks like you got 200 in there. It works. I mean, you know, now if we had a meeting here and had about 10 people in here, it would be packed, you know, and you look around, you'd have, say, you had a real good attendance, which it would be. And so, even with us, they worked on, you know, health center for Southeast, so they really, Congressman Goodlatte had been with our meetings and all those things and doing that process. I never figured that I'd ever get to the White House. But see, with Faith Works, see, it's a nationwide organization. And when we have any kind of big issues on the floor at the White House, even within your community, where you can still go up there and meet your senator, meet your congressman, or whatsoever, see. Well, we went up there to lobby for, back then, of course, health care has been a issue for years, not only the hot issue now, but, you know, kids' health care. And so just last year, after all these years, they were able to get the, you know, health care complete for, you know, all the children. And so, as I say, I never figured I'd get there to do any kind of lobbying or meeting the congressman and all that kind of stuff and be interviewed. But, you know, it's been a wonderful organization. But we have sort of figured out now, because normally with organizations like that, when you accomplish your mission, well, you got to dig around, try to find new issues, you know, and it's quite often you don't have a lot of new issues. So the Facebook is sort of in the area, has sort of dwindled down. But now I am a co-chair with the Melrose Rugby Neighborhood Forum. It is chaired by Ms. Estelle McCann. And that's the greatest. See, we have about close to 40 neighborhood organizations in the city. And we pride ourselves on being number one. Yeah, we pride ourselves. Because we do, we meet every fourth Tuesday, and we do have 25 and 30 people. And of course, the cops come in and get a report. And they report on the activities throughout the area, and they say that they really would like to come there because they go to these other meetings, maybe four or five people there, you know, and they just enjoy, you know, the group, you know, and the participation and everything. So we do big things. And then it's just, you know, it's just sort of a capsule of, you know, as community activities are concerned. Of course, as of now, we're working on a deal of the Knights of Columbus. We are bringing the bishop here for this is the year of the priest. And so the bishop will be here on the 27th of this month. Well, I've seen the last. And, of course, we're proud of Father Renee, our priest. He'll be getting a reward. And, of course, the bishop will be getting a reward, too. See? And so it's this can be, you know, really a wonderful affair. And at our church, we are just working, almost completing the church, you know, documented yearbook, so to call. And I have, you know, done a lot of the photography of the pictures that will be going into our book. And so, as I say, it's a... Of course, sometimes when you leave, I still think of a whole lot of other stuff. But as
I mean, we're getting to the point where we need to start wrapping up as well.
Oh, good. What is it? Yeah.
Is there anything else?
I mean, I have dozens more questions, but
some of them, you know, a couple of them or whatever, you know.
For one last one, one thing that I was wondering is, you mentioned when you went into the service how the priest in the service helped compel you to come back and start founding St. Gerard.
Well, not founding. I became interested in the church. Become a they were inspirational in me coming back joining the church.
Oh, okay.
See, so that was the thing, see, because the priest had just come here, Father McDonald come down from Boston to establish the church. Mm-hmm. And he had a little even on Henry Street at that time, he had an information center on Henry Street. You know, people could come in and learn about the church and everything. And so I went in the information deal, and that's how I got involved with the church. We were serviced well overseas, but I mean, I guess if it hadn't been for this information, I may not have got involved, but since it was there, I went into it.
So, okay. Well, I mean, but the priest in the, while you were in the service, were you in the Army or the Navy?
Army, yeah. Mm-hmm. I was in the Pacific Theater.
Okay.
I was in New Guinea about 3 or 4 months from New Guinea to Manila. And we went into Manila. We were on alert, packed up for the invasion of Japan. We were on alert, I guess, from July until Japan was attacked, were bombed. Because, see, that was one of the greatest miracles that ever happened when they bombed Japan, because if we had invaded at that time before they bombed them out there, it would have been millions of people. And, you know, normally they wouldn't be able to touch the loss that we had there. But, I mean, I did occupy. We went in, we occupied Tokyo. I mean, I was in Tokyo, in Yokohama, before I was discharged in 1946.
Okay. I mean, that poses another 10 questions, but... Do you have a question?
Yes, I have one last question. Did you go to college and where?
No, I only went to trade school after, Booker T. Washington Trade School. That was after high school. Now, it was beyond high school. And it was a post-war, situation. We had Booker T. It was affiliated with Booker T. Memorial. You know, we had teachers that come up from Tuskegee and open up this Booker T. Washington Trade School. And so I took a couple of courses. I took bricklaying, which I've done, we did some on the bricklaying. And, other I did carpentry. I was able to repair my own home. The trade I took, I was able to utilize it myself. I didn't do it professionally, but I was able to improve my own living conditions through training, I guess. Okay.
Well, thank you for participating.
Well, very glad to be a part. Now, how this be documented? How do you do? Will you edit it up and everything? How do you?
You can turn it off. From what